Well, the dial is set and the time is just right. You're welcome. This is your number one technology conversation on Ghana Radio. You're tuned in to City Trends. My name is Philippa Sean and you're tuned in to 97.3 City FM. On the show today, we hear from Kwame Ahiagbenu from Pen Plus Bytes as he makes a case against a social media ban in the elections 2016.
Now, it's very important to note that governments and security agencies do not have the physical and also technical ability to do any ban. You can quote me on that.
Well, if that is not intriguing enough, well, there is lots of news from the world of technology, plus some pretty interesting mobile applications, including one that will be perfect for those of you who love to talk finance. Get in touch via City FM's Facebook and Twitter pages using the hashtag CityTrends if you have a thought to share. You can alternatively use the WhatsApp number 054-998-6996. If you want to get in touch with me directly, send a message via my personal handle at Kofi Ashon. Now, the IGP some weeks ago is reported to have said that his outfit, or the outfit that he oversees, was seriously considering banning the use of social media during the 2016 elections. The news naturally did not go down well with Ghanaians. Everyone, everywhere was up in arms and making commentary about the matter, some defending and some bashing. The President of the Republic, at the launch of his campaign for the election 2016, however, said there was not going to be any ban of any sort. The debate has, however, not stopped. 2 weeks ago, the Center for Constitutional Order, CENSORD, organized a forum on this particular issue and had a lot of conversation and debate coming up. At the forum, technology analyst and director of Pen Plus Bytes, Kwame Ahiagbenu, made a strong case against a social media ban within the country's political space. Well, take a listen to his argument and let me know what you think.
To start with, any attempt towards remove, hide, censor information online or messaging system like WhatsApp or SMS, that's one critical thing. It means that that information becomes more valuable and people go for it. So if you decide to ban, stop, remove any information, what you have done is that, just like the bushfire, you've given it that dry hamatan environment, it will burn more. So it's very important to start this discussion by bringing that into context. Now, social media ban, what does it mean? I want to start with that. Basically, it's the prevention of access to social media so that users cannot access those services. Now, it's very important to note that governments and security agencies do not have the physical and also technical ability to do any ban. You can quote me on that. So, for a ban to happen today, they have to reach out to the service providers, like your MTN or your internet service provider. They can rely on the National Communication Authority to do that. So it's very important to know that the power to turn off that pipe cannot be done by any government or the security agencies because they don't have the will to do that. Ghana is one of the few countries that there is, if you're in US, there is a messaging system that if there's a fire in this area, you can have a message sent to your phone. That means the security agencies, they have access to the technology. They can actually share disaster or early warning information with the citizens. But we don't have that in our case. Now, why a ban? One of the key reasons for any ban which have been talked is about national security. So people argue that we need to protect national security when they call for a ban, which could mean peace, which could mean law and order. But we have to realize that national security is a very complex animal. About what does it mean when you say national security? I mean that if the president is not feeling happy, something will have for national security implications. So it's very important that we understand that national security what is very complex, and sometimes some of our state apparatus use that without reason. There is also the rationale that it can spread what false information, it can lead to what violence. And these are some of the reasons that usually come out into play when there is a talk about what banning social media. Now let's look at social media in the world today. It's very important to realize that it's only few countries in the world that ban social media. So if Ghana is going to join that club, we are not in the majority. We are in the few. As the previous speaker mentioned, China is one of the best examples of countries banning social media. In China, if you're taking a phone call and you mention some keywords even on the call, your call can be cut whilst you are talking, because they have that ability to monitor the call, and it can proactively respond to any content they believe that should not be shared. Of course, US also have the ability to monitor all that. The other countries are North Korea, Iran, Pakistan, Turkey, recent time Ethiopia, Uganda, Congo, Chad. So the question is that, do we want to join the league of those countries and why? I need to mention that there are challenges. Social media, as the previous speaker mentioned, is a very powerful tool for delivering what information to large numbers of people. Some people argue that there's only few people on social media. That's not true. Well, in our country today, when information gets onto social media, onto messaging platform like WhatsApp, people pick it up, share it on what radio, and sometimes what on TV. So the power of social media goes beyond the actual users of the platform. It's very important that we stress that point. However, the evidence out there is unclear about the value of what social media in terms of what factual information distribution. Because again, when information is being transmitted by word of mouth, when it moves from party A and B, it gets diluted. And social media, of course, have that characteristic. However, we have to know that social media power can be used for what? The bad, the good, and the ugly. And it's very critical that we understand that its mobilization ability means that people can what act. And their action is something we can discuss what later. I think my previous speaker mentioned that when there's a ban, there is a cost to business. And I think he was alluding to the fact, maybe we discuss later, that businesses can bear that. But no, it's going to be a huge cut toward the national economy when there is a ban. There's going to be loss of income to individuals, because today a lot of artisans, when they paint your house, will take a picture, send it out, you check the picture and send them payment by what, mobile money. Unless we are seeing that during election day, everything is going to shut down. More importantly, one of the costs of social media ban is that it's going to make Ghana notorious as a place which is unattractive for investors, because investors want what? Confidence. They want to know things about sanctity. Tomorrow, are we going to ban the use of online banking because they are using it for what? Fraud, 419? So it's important that when we do take certain decision, we have to realize that there are some young bright guys sitting behind a computer in London or wherever who are analysts. And they are picking all this information and they're going to use it to make decisions. Decision that the next time you go to borrow at Eurobond, your rate may be what? 1 point what higher. So it's very critical that we know that there are implications. Every action will have what consequences. Also, it may create fear and panic. Why? Because people hear that, the government has banned what social media because they want to what hide something from it. They want to what prevent it from seeing what is happening. So that's a very critical issue that we have to interrogate that law. By putting up a ban, and if it's not done within a certain framework, people consider it that you want to hide something, you want to prevent people to participate. And that's very critical, because when you go cover elections, people stay in a polling line and they can call or send a WhatsApp or a message to people that, look, the line has reduced, come and vote. Because I may not have the time to wait in line the whole day. So I rely on that to help me get to the polling station at a certain time. It can also help me find a polling station and so on and so forth. Now also, we talk about the constitution, I think our good friend, the lawyer, will come and talk about that. And we believe from our standpoint that we have that constitutional right at any point in time to have the freedom of speech. And that expression should not be taken lightly, because if you start eroding that, the freedom or democracy we have, it is not a one-time event, it's a process. And the erosion, even one small tiny inch, can lead to what? Greater erosion. So we have to be, we have to what? Guide against the erosion of that what? Freedom. Now, I also have to speak to the national security issue. So why? What are some of the national security implications of a ban? In the world today, we have terrorists. A lot of them use what? Online mechanism, and most of them use what? Social media in perpetuating their terror. So it's a key interest that a lot of people look at in terms of national security implication of a social media usage of one. Of course, there are some unfriendly government, NGOs, or other artists who can use the social media towards perpetuate certain war threats against the country. And we have to know that. And I think our colleague mentioned that there's bullying. The bullies could actually be an unfriendly government, not necessarily what citizens of the country, but because on the social media, you can actually see that this person is actually a Ghanaian or not, but they can act and assume identity as a Ghanaian. So that's also a very critical national security implication of social media. Of course, social media can also help hold the spread of hold violence, and I think it's a critical issue that we need to interrogate. There is the distribution of misinformation, rumors, which is a headache for anybody working in security, because internal security is a function of what information is available. If tomorrow some information came out that this group is fighting against this group and it's not true, it may be too late for the security actors to react, especially if their numbers are not that much. And then one of the biggest headaches for a lot of governments is about revolution. Not what JJ did, but the new revolution where we use social media to mobilize. And the case in point is what? Egypt, where you were able to what? Create and Tunisia a new government through the use of social media that led to mobilization. So when the security artists are talking, they are concerned with some of this implication of social media. Now, I think it's important that we put on the table evidence. There is little or no evidence currently that gives us the relationship between social media and national security. That if you ban social media, would that lead to better national security? If you have social media in play, does that lead to what? Worse national security. And unfortunately, our security apparatus are not doing well with this. Maybe Kofi Annan's peacekeeping center should take this up, because we need to produce the evidence. We need to do the research to actually show that, look, this is the implication of what? A ban on social media or otherwise. And by doing that, it will help us for understand some of these issues and how to deal with it. I know that there's a lot of doctors walking around, but the true doctors who are doing research should be able to contribute knowledge to this area. What's the relation between social media and national security? And that issue needs to be discussed. I think it's very critical that Ghana as a country, our national security apparatus have to invest in social media monitoring. It has to be done within a legal framework. I don't think that the Ghana police have that IT capacity to do that. But I think as a country, we need to invest on in that area, that they need to understand social media. They should be visibly what present. And one typical example was when the current U.S. ambassador came to Ghana. There was this case I've not followed, that they went to arrest a gentleman who was posting content on Facebook that is going to threaten the life of the ambassador. Now, for that arrest to happen, it was not due to the work of the Ghana police. Somebody was sitting in Washington, and persons of interest, they monitored them, and they picked this up as a signal and sent it down for this arrest to be done. And the arrest was done that they use what we call IP, which is Internet Protocol. So every device on the internet, your mobile phone, everything have an address. So if we want to find you, we can find you. So that begs the question that the Ghana Police Service cannot say, oh, look, we can find a radio station, but we cannot find what? An internet user. That's not true. You can find them using the IP. And the U.S. ambassador case in point illustrates that that is possible. So why don't we invest in that instead of calling for a ban? Now, again, I'll repeat this again. They need to invest in understanding, research, acquire more knowledge about the relationship between social media and national security within our Ghanaian context. What does that mean? So we need to do that both as an academic world research and also world practitioner-led research. National dialogue is critical, so we are happy about having this dialogue about how do we develop a framework for a ban of social media. Now, if it's become very critical to ban social media, I'm not saying that the IGP or the National Security Agency should not have the ability to do so. But the question is that within what framework are they going to do it? Is it because the IGP is not feeling happy, that's why he's banning social media? Or he's feeling that, look, maybe to give advantage or disadvantage to another political party? So we need to put that on the table. If you're going to do a ban, within what framework? Again, the media here is very critical. We need to educate our citizens about the responsible utilization of social media. And that's why the police will have to come in this area. If somebody is on social media doing illegal hot art or spreading hate speech, the current law that we have can give them somewhat led to what gets those people arrested. And then the police start showing examples that they are doing arrests based on some of those actions of people on social media. It can help bringing some sanity in the social media space.
Well, very interesting points there from technology analyst and director of Pen Plus Bytes, Kwame Ahiagbedu, on the very interesting issue of whether or not to ban social media use during the elections in Ghana. I have already seen a couple of your comments on Twitter, and I'll be coming to that also on Facebook. But you can also get into the debate via Twitter using the hashtag CityTrend, and your thoughts are definitely welcome. We'll be getting to some of them as the conversation continues. Well, next up is the app segment of the show with Jeffrey Oreku Sapong, and this time he is going to bring us some apps which will require you to take out your phone and get very, very useful with it. Thank you so much, Oreku. And what are the apps that we have for this week?
Okay, so I decided that the EPL has started.
Aha!
And the Premier League app is out.
Oh, great.
So I decided to bring you the app today.
Mm-hmm.
So this app, fine, it gives you all the news on the teams in the EPL. Mm-hmm. But if you have this app, you don't have to download your FPL app, because you can manage your FPL team in the Premier League app too.
Hmm.
And it will give you video highlights of all matches.
All matches?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yep.
That's incredible, because usually even when you try to view on YouTube, sometimes there are restrictions placed on it. So that's a very interesting one.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. What other, you know, interesting things are there about this app? Can you, for example, do your fantasy league on it?
I said it already. You can do that one. Everything that you do on your FPL app, which you have in either iOS or Android,
you can
be
it
done
here
in the Premier League app.
It's like everything having Premier to do League. With the Premier League
yes.
has been put together into this one
yes.
app. Wow. Does it come with the different colors that we are seeing currently in the since the Premier
of
League
course.
Started?
They have to do away with blacklist right
the,
now.
The colors are just incredible. And it's very... Anyway,
but I hate them.
Yeah, me too. I just feel it a little too strong, but I'm sure the people love it, and that's why they chose it. Okay, so that is
the Premier League.
And we can find it where?
It's on Android, iOS, and Windows.
Okay, so Android, iOS, and Windows. So yeah. For those of you who love the English Premier League, you know where to find it. So what are they supposed to search for?
Just go search for the Premier League app and you will find it.
Premier League app.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Okay. So what is the second app that we have for today?
So for the second app, I'm not going to say much because it's a made in Ghana app.
Okay.
It's called Bank Hall.
Okay.
So let's let the one of the developers is called Edward Akani.
Okay.
Let him describe what the app is about.
Lovely.
A Office app is an app that integrates financial information and other financial variables for the consumer. The whole idea is to help people to make informed decision making. So with this app, you get all your financial news from different sources, and there's a bit of the app that tracks Ghana Stock Exchange. So if you're interested in stocks, you can always have access to stock information from the app. You get to calculate your financial stuff also from the app, and it gives you a database of financial terms. So the whole idea is to have that app that will help you to make your financial decisions. So for instance, maybe you happen to be, and maybe someone who is interested in finance, and you heard something on the TV or on the radio and you don't really understand it. Once you get to the app, you can find out what it means and basically like get to know what the word is, so that next time when you're speaking to someone, you can also use the word. So it keeps you sort of ahead. It gives you information just to make you a financially literate person. Once you get there, you get all the information you need. So you don't have to go to the web portal and put in www.abc.com. It's on your phone. So once you have it, you don't need to always go online and search for stuff. It's there for you to like just have. And another very distinguishing factor is the stock. I have not really seen a website that gives that information, but with the BankAll app that you can get on the Google Play Store, you get all your information on the Ghana Stock Exchange. I like stocks very much, and so once I get that, I get to know, okay, fine, today maybe GBC was traded for 3.9 pesos, that and that and that, and I get to see how much was traded, if it's 1,000 volumes of stock, everything, you get that straight from there. It's updated as frequently as possible. It's actually in real time, so it's linked to the Ghana Stock Exchange portal. It's not like maybe when you go there, you would see something that was maybe 5 minutes later or 5 minutes ago. It's in real time. So whatever you see on BankAll is the same thing that you see on the Ghana Stock Exchange. You don't have to go to Ghana Stock Exchange and type in gsc.com. You just go to BankAll and you just see everything.
So that was Edward Akani with the BankAll app. So this app obviously is for people like me,
right,
who don't know anything about finances.
You know. Or probably for those people who want to, you know, make sure they have some bit of explainer wherever they go. When they say something and someone doesn't understand, they whip out their phone and check out, you know, the proper explanation, the stocks and everything, and the performance of the stocks. Interesting. So BankAll is the second app. So the Premier League app and BankAll are the two apps for the week. Well, Jeffrey Oreku Sapon, thank you so much for the two apps for this week, the English Premier League app, of course, and BankAll as the two new apps for this week. Okay, so you're still tuned in to 97.3 City FM, and it is time for the trending segment of the show, and we are joined by none other than Amish.
Yeah,
Ofori. Okay, so I know it's been a very, very, very busy week, and lots of things have happened. But what are the top things that got your attention in terms of the trending technology news stories of the week?
Okay, so the most exciting one for me today, it came out today actually.
Oh.
Is that Google is about to release its new OS. More of the tech blogs are making noise with it. The new OS, Android 7, you know, after Marshmallow, is going to be Google Nougat. I don't know what Nougat is.
Yeah, because when you mention Marshmallow and the rest of them, Kit Kat and all of that.
Yeah, all sweet stuff.
Yeah,
right?
But so Nougat.
Nougat is probably something
I wonder
sweet.
What's the direction you're going in. But anyway, what are the juicy stuff in Nougat?
Yeah, so on Nougat, unfortunately, it's only going to be available on the Nexus line of phones. That's the first thing we have to know.
Okay.
The other phones will be coming out in the next months. But they are working on improved battery life. So they said in the Marshmallow, right, there was something called Doze, and they are improving on Doze. So when your phone is idle, Doze will be working. And even when your phone is, they said, in motion, sort of like, so if it's in your pocket and you're walking around, Doze will still be in motion. So
that's
yeah.
like a good use of the accelerometer, sort of tracking your movement as well, and then putting your phone.
Right, yeah, I think it might be the same technology. So that will help save a lot of battery power.
Nice.
And then they said also now in the notifications, you see how WhatsApp, you can now reply messages
directly.
Yes, in your notification. Now they are doing it for text messages and email as well. And they said they are making the service available for all app developers. So if you're an app developer, you can also take advantage of that and use it to implement it in your app.
Right. So then people can respond, you know, within their notifications for various apps, third-party apps that they have.
Exactly. And you don't have to open the app. That's before. Cool. Yes. And also, they are releasing the new emojis.
It looks like 72 new emojis. Everybody's releasing new emojis. Yeah, well,
it's a board, right? It's a consortium. They allow you to release emojis, and now they are.
I wonder what's going to be new
it.
About it, though.
Remember
with Apple's gun issue and all of that. I don't know if they're going to take some out or they're just going to just make it all different. I don't know.
Yeah. So it's just something they are doing just because there are emojis around. The very interesting one is that you can run two simultaneous apps on the same screen. So it has a split screen feature.
Wow.
Yeah. So it can be YouTubing and tweeting at the same time, if your attention span can handle that.
That's incredible, though.
Yeah. I was really impressed.
That's something. I mean, we know that we've seen. I think we've seen it in Windows, Windows 10. I know we've seen it in Mac, the OS, Sierra. Even before Sierra, we saw that. But it's interesting that it's coming to the phone.
Yeah,
this is the first time it's coming onto.
It's
the
now
phone.
Coming on the phone. It's pretty cool. And the instructions are pretty basic. It's easy for everyone to do. You just hold down an app and then open another app.
And that's it.
Yes, that's it.
Wow.
Yeah, apart from that, they said
I wonder how Apple is going to top that.
Oh, Apple. Okay, we'll talk about Apple later. They're working on Twitter.
Okay.
Meanwhile, Apple. Okay, anyway. Yes, and then finally, they said they are going to improve the virtual reality side of it too. So for Oculus and virtual reality games and stuff. Gaming is also going to be more pleasurable, more high-level games.
But on the phone.
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it's already great as it is. So any improvement, I'm guessing, for gamers out there is more than welcome.
Yeah. I mean, those people go hardcore, right? Google developers are always hardcore.
If you're a gamer, if you are someone who loves the Google ecosystem, I'm guessing this is very good news for you.
Yep, Team Google.
Go, Google! Okay, so which other news stories do we have for the week?
Yeah, so what I was saying about iOS.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So they have a night mode for Twitter on iOS.
Yes,
and
finally.
They said it's just a little teaser for the new iPhones that will be coming out. Hmm. So people are speculating maybe the new iOS is going to have a certain special feature. That's why Twitter is doing all this. Yes. So
that's arguable considering the fact that they brought it on, Android, devices and everything, because most people with Android devices already have the night.
Really?
I'm not sure if.
Yes, this one came out last week, but they've also reiterated it this week. They said Apple is going to be releasing curved phones soon. more competition, right?
So that is the sound of Jobs turning in his grave.
Yeah.
What?
Right. Yes. They claim they have been working on that patent for a long time, and now they are going to abuse the patent. They already have the patent. Apparently, it's already been there. So in 2017, we should expect more dual edge kind of phones.
I don't understand. If you're an Apple user, I would like to hear from you. Does this make any sense to you, like a curved iPhone? Do you see yourself using a curved iPhone? Personally, I don't. I'm just going to stick with my iPhone 6S and just enjoy a good day.
Yeah, I think they're just hoping for aesthetics and whatever they can use to compete, right?
Right.
Because like you said, I side with you. I'm not really a fan of curved, but technology has this thing, it will catch up on you. Right. Very soon you'll be bragging with it.
And then you'll find an excuse to want to get...
Right, right. They might even come up with apps that work on only curved.
Well, I do hope that whatever it is that they choose to do, it will have a more meaningful impact on the use of the phone as compared to what I've seen with Samsung. So, I think it's a good thing. Let's wait and see how it eventually turns out.
Yeah, so let's talk more about hardware stuff maybe.
Right.
Not necessarily hardware, but Uber. Uber is getting self-driving cars.
I did.
They're partnering with... I've forgotten the car
Volvo.
Company. Yes, Volvo.
Volvo,
right?
It is.
And some.
But Uber started not long ago in Ghana. So I'm guessing it's now growing. But all over the world, it seems to be, the number one sort of taxi service or alternate taxi service.
Yeah, they are making Lyft do funny stuff.
Exactly. Lyft is currently now looking for investors and people to buy off the company. But, all the best to them. But I think that Uber has come a long way. So
that's the trends that caught to me. this week.
I mean, that's really, really interesting. There are lots more other things. And listeners, if there was something that caught your attention this week, let us know on the trending segment by just sending us a message with a hashtag trending and, of course, City Trends on 97.3 City FM. Make sure you include the hashtag City Trends. Thank you so much, Amish, the update for this week. And that is the trending segment of the show. And a message coming in from Enoch Obodai on Twitter. He says, using Bank Hall app, it's been great so far. Well, there you go. Well, that will be all for today's show. Many thanks to Jeffrey Orekwusapoy and Amisha Diofori for making this show possible. Thank you also to the Center for Constitutional Order and Director of PEM Plus Bites, Kwame Ahiagbenu, for the insight on the show. Thank you all of you for staying tuned in. Let the conversation continue wherever you are, and you can still follow me via my personal Twitter handle at Kofi Ashon. The show will be available as a podcast on cityfmonline.com in case you want to listen in. Again, my name is Philip Ashon. Until next week, stay techie.